Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. I pray that you tune in each day looking to hear and receive information, inspiration, and challenge to our lives. I pray that as you tune in each day, you call others and motivate them to also tune in. I am prayerful always that the broadcast will be a blessing and a benefit, inspirational, informational, and challenging to each of us each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we need to do so from a central biblicist worldview. That is, what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God tell us? What is the source book for our direction in life, especially as a Christian? We need to go to the Word of God. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. It's Jesus in John 8:31-32 that said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, you've heard a lot of people, even recently I've noticed some of the secular commentators on television will say, "The truth will make you free." Well, they're not talking about the truth that I'm talking about or that the Word of God is speaking of. It is the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then he goes further to say in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so the only way we can be free as a people and as a nation is through the knowledge of the Word of God, knowing God's word. From Genesis through the Revelation text, it's the Word of God that we should hide in our hearts, that we'll not sin against him, as is said in the Psalms text by the psalmist David. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is what we ought to seek, what we ought to be challenged to be obedient to, and that's the truth of the Word of God. But George Orwell, a number of years ago, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And I have found that to be very, very true personally, and I find it true as we look out around the nation and see what is taking place in Washington, see what is taking place with the white-jacketed folks from the CDC and the National Institute of Health with Dr. Fauci, the World Health Organization with Dr. Tedros, and you find out that oftentimes it's not truth that's being heard, and yet it's being touted as truth. We were told, as you know, a couple of months back that 2.2 million people in America are going to die unless we shut America down completely. And then Dr. Fauci, in his squirming around, finally admitted that it could be as high as 500,000. And then he reduced the number of projection between 100,000 and 140,000. And now they're saying that around 60,000 to 65,000, which is the normal annual death by way of the flu that we get each year in America. It is a difficult time to find truth in the arena in which we're living today, but truth is what we ought to seek. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said this: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that is my challenge to our listeners each and every day, that we will defend the truth even to death. It takes a real tenacity, a real conviction, a real commitment to stand on truth. And I have found in the society in which we're living in today, there are a lot of things being touted out there, and they call them facts, but you can't have your own facts and truth also. And there are a lot of folks today that believe that what they believe, they tout it as fact, and then it's supposed to be truth. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a far cry difference in what the world sees as truth and what the Word of God says is truth. As we study the truth book, it will give us wisdom and insight and direction. God's Word says that real wisdom comes from on high. Earthly wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. James 3:15 tells us we need to understand the difference. And the difference is finding the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape business, lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full equipment line for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment of Honda generators, etc. They have a full knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to explain to you and give you instructions on all of the power equipment, hurricane preparedness equipment that's offered by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the benchmark can be found. It's the gigantic flag, the U.S. flag, flying at about 165 feet in there. The gigantic red, white, and blue flowing 24/7 at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the headquarters for Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about an issue today that I believe should bear fruit in the relationship to how we should respond as Christians. We're talking about today civil disobedience. If you want to put it in a different style, is it ever okay to disobey the government? Is it ever okay to disobey the government? It's called civil disobedience. Civil disobedience. There were things that were done back in the 60s in the demonstrations and marches. It was called civil disobedience. It was taking a stand saying to the government, we're not going to obey what you've said that we ought to do. Now, some of those things were right, some were wrong, some were good, some were bad. I'll not get into the dissecting of that and the trying to explain one way or the other. Simply using that as a passing illustration. Is it ever okay for a Christian to say no to the government? And I say that, ladies and gentlemen, because in the past 2 months, 3 months, going on 4 months, we've had voice after voice after voice in America that chides the churches that have remained open. Multitudes of voices have said evil, wicked, ungodly things in the name of Christianity to and against churches. One of the churches where the pastor continued to open and preach the gospel, and he was warned by the police department and ticketed by them. And I watched the video footage on television, almost weeping. He said that he had received some really vicious, vile, hate mail and emails and telephone calls from so-called Christians. He said one had even said that they were praying that he would go to hell and spend eternity in hell because of simply opening his church door and preaching. That their rationale was, ladies and gentlemen, that he was disobeying the government, and as such, he was doomed for hell. Now, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Do you think there's ever a time when Christians ought to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, even if it is contrary to what the government says? Ladies and gentlemen, in China today, even though the Chinese government says that you cannot practice Christianity, you cannot have a Bible, you cannot preach, you cannot have a church, do we find the ones that are Christians in China bowing, bending, and saying, yes, sir, government, we're simply going to cease and desist worshiping the Lord. We're going to toss in our Bibles. We're going to close our church doors. We're going to cease. No, they haven't. What they've had to do, ladies and gentlemen, because they believe they ought to obey God rather than man, they have simply gone underground. The real church in China is an underground church. The real church in China hides has to hide from the government of China in order to worship God, preach the word, and disseminate the truth of the word of God. Now, does that mean that that's what we need to do in America? Well, if we continue the route that we're going now, we'll have that type government. We'll have the socialist, Marxist, communist type government in America if we continue. You might say, I don't believe that. That's your prerogative. You can disavow it, disagree with it, disagree with it, and disbelieve it if you like. But that's where we're headed on the fast track in America. And they're using the coronavirus crisis, the pandemic, as a rationale for fast-tracking socialism in America. And I'm saddened to see that. But as a result of that, there's the mindset that churches ought to remain closed, Christians ought to remain silent. And as Attorney General Barr said, just hiding under the beds. I've said for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks now that most Christians are not only just hiding under the bed, they're hiding in the closet, waiting until the government says, here's your immune certificate, you can go back to church. Waiting until the government says you can open your churches back up. Wait until the government says you can open your business back. Waiting until the government says it's okay for you to make a livelihood for your family. Waiting for the government to say when it is time to be obedient to the word of God and to work and to continue in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about today civil disobedience. Is it ever okay to disobey the government? Love to hear from you. Love to hear your opinion, your philosophy. And by the way, if you've got an opinion, I'd love to hear your fundamental foundational rationale for that opinion. It's not just a fiat opinion, I think or I believe. What do you base that thinking or belief on? We need to have a fundamental foundation, a philosophical principle for what we base our opinions on. And I suggest that we base them on the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, across America today, citizens are finally, listen, citizens in America are finally fed up with, if I can use that term, of being shut in the home, sheltered in place, and being badgered, beaten, and berated by the wannabe ten-horn dictator mayors and governors in America. There are those that have been, in fact, just as in New York just recently with de Blasio. Do you realize Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, actually went into a Jewish funeral service and demanded that the service break up because he contended that they were violating his edict, his fiat executive order in New York City, that they were not to worship, not to get together in the synagogue. And because they were having a funeral service, he literally, physically, factually went in and broke the service up and threatened them of jail if they did not cease and desist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's total dictatorship. There's something wrong with that when you analyze it in light of our Constitution. There's something wrong with that picture where we have those that have decided, and this is the bottom line, those governors and mayors that have decided that we're going to keep our city, we're going to keep our state shut down, because the longer it's shut down, the longer we can put our hand out to the federal government to replenish the dollars. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say this? I believe, and I'm not trying to document this, but I believe I could say it without the risk of countering the statement. All of the governors and all of the mayors across America that are wanting to elongate the shutdown are waiting for the federal funds to come in more and more so that they can then put their budget back in the black rather than the red, because most of these cities, most of these states are headed up and carried out by the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic leadership, and they have squandered the dollars. They have taxed the people to the point where they're leaving New York, leaving California, and other states like that because of the high taxes, because of the squandering of the dollars. Now these governors and the mayors are wanting more federal dollars, so the longer they can keep us in the lockdown scenario in America, the more dollars they'll have to come in to wash the drainage and the wrong use of the funds that they've had brought into the coffers in their cities and states. So, ladies and gentlemen, across America, some of the citizens are finally getting weary, finally based on fear and out of money and out of food And as a result of that, thousands of patriotic Americans, including Christians, are confronting the mayors and the governors across America. Now, you don't see that on the Communist Network News. You don't see that on MSNBC. You'll see occasional blurbs of it on Fox News. But, ladies and gentlemen, across America, caravans of disgruntled citizens, large numbers by the hundreds, and in some cases over 1,000 automobiles, trucks, and vehicles. And then recently, where they even entered into the Capitol, and a large crowd, I believe it was in Michigan, where they entered into the Capitol demanding that they be set free. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong with our nation when the citizens have to demand our governors to set us free. By that word, set us free, I mean to allow us to open business, to allow restaurants to open, to allow the general economic structure of America to start its engines again, as I'd use the term, to go back in business. The citizens in America are petrified, frightened, and that fright comes after being put into a panic, hysteric mode because the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, screaming from the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party that happens to be in control of the CDC and the National Institute of Health and Fauci and Dr. Birx, all in lockstep with the globalist Bill Gates that wants to reduce the population by about 100 million around the globe so that we can protect Mother Earth. Is his philosophy and his position. And that's the thing that's calling the shots, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm delighted to see, if I can say this very, very forcefully, I'm delighted to see that we, the citizens in general, are no longer frightened and fearful and hiding under the closet, in the closet, or under the bed. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we see that this is not an attempt to for tyranny. This is not an attempt to overthrow the government. This is simply where citizens are demanding that we be allowed to open our stores, our shops, our businesses, and our churches when there's 30 million people that's out of pay, out of a job, with no bread on the table, no gas in the tank, no hope for tomorrow, where suicides are skyrocketing, where we find alcoholism major, major increasing, where we find the potheads increasing with their pot use, where we find abortion continuing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we go back to work. It's time that we open our businesses. It's time we open our churches, and it's time that we say no to the government and say yes to God. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. This is Brother Davis this morning. How you doing?
Brother Davis, God bless you. Good to hear from you today.
Yes, sir. I just have an opinion basically in connection with what you have already discussed on the air this morning. And I thank God for, you know, the work that you're doing. You're doing a spectacular job. It seems somewhat like maybe some are not listening to what's being said, even, you know, when you and I get together and we try to sound the trumpet, especially to the church family, to let them know what's going on and how their rights are being violated and different things are happening right up under their noses. And they just seem to be sitting there taking it with a grain of salt. It's kind of frightening to see that happening because according to the scripture, I mean, anytime the government comes against the word of God, we are under no obligation to obey them. And I understand right. that some pastor that I have spoken to said that they thought that, you know, we should just obey what they're telling us. But I mean, again, when we go back to the scriptures, we have it written many places in there. We're not trying to encourage anybody to start a riot or anything, but just know what your rights are and stand up for them. Now, as you just got through saying about the citizens coming out, I mean, I'm glad to see that, but it's a shame, I can say, in a way, for us to sit back and let the people who don't know God step forward to demand that, you know, they be treated right and be able to exercise their rights according to the Constitution. And the church has sat down quiet. It's just, to me, that's a bad thing. But when we look at the scripture, again, I'm basing my opinion on what I'm looking at here. I have a good friend and brother here with me, and we're listening to the broadcast, and again, we are enjoying. But 2 Corinthians 10, I believe it tells us, in that's chapter 10, and verse number 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So in other words, we're not telling anybody to pick up a knife or a gun or anything and go out there and start a riot, start a fight or anything like that. But just, I mean, God give us things to fight with. We got prayer, we got the word, we got the Holy Spirit. I mean, we got a lot of things working for us, but I'm afraid that no one has taken the time to exercise, you know, what's given to us in the word of God. For it says here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I'm mighty afraid that that's what they have done, Dr. Youngblood. They have built a lot of strongholds up now that it's going to be pretty much impossible for the church to overcome in the future, because they're going to be able to go back on this and look at it and say, okay, we got it in black and white, but the last time we did such and such, you didn't say anything, so we don't want you to say anything right now.
That's it.
And it's a fearful thing. So that's kind of what I really wanted to say on this morning. I hate to see, you know, things going on like this with the church. And I'm hoping and praying that we can encourage more brothers and sisters to stand up for what they know is right according to the
Amen.
Word of God.
Amen, brother. Keep on preaching that. Keep on sharing the good news of the gospel. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. And as a result of that, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he's given us a spirit of sound mind. And with that sound mind, we need to understand what God would have us to do and take that stand. And I'm thankful
Amen.
To see something doing that. Brother, keep on
Amen.
Preaching the word. Keep on keeping on. Share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone you see today. Thank you, and God
yes,
bless
sir.
You.
Certainly
for
will.
Call.
Thank you,
Amen.
Sir.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that we're seeing multitudes across America. In fact, I want to say thousands upon thousands upon thousands of citizens, we the people, that are standing up, speaking up, being heard, being seen, being vocal and visible. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they've talked about the CARES Act where stimulus checks were to go out. And I understand in talking with several that hundreds of thousands have never received the so-called stimulus check. Yet that was designed supposedly to put money in the pocket, to buy groceries, to put gas in the tank for the people that were out of jobs where they had been forced out of work simply because of the shutdown of the economy in America. These stimulus checks have not arrived for millions of Americans. So we are witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, these huge caravans of cars and trucks and Americans waving signs and flags and saying, let us go back to work. They're screaming, let us open up. Let us go back to work. Some have taken that stand. Some have done that. I've got article after article after article in my archives where people have gone back to work. They've opened their businesses. One in Houston, Texas, a lady with a beauty shop, salon, haircutter salon. She has 19 chairs. She opened up. Her next-door neighbor snitched on her. The police showed up and said they were going to close her down. She said, when you can pay my mortgage, when you can pay my overhead, when the government starts paying my workers, then you can tell me when to open and close. But until then, I'm staying open. So they just wrote her a warning ticket. A few minutes later, about six officers rolled up and said that they had to come in. She said, you can't come in. This is my shop. I'm not closing it. Then finally, they got the judge to offer issue a restraining order, cease and desist order. And she said, I will acknowledge that, put the order in my pocket. I'm going to open my shop. She walked in and continued to take care of her clients. And ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to have to do that in America as American citizens, where we're threatened and intimidated by our own government because we simply want to go back to work, open our churches and open our businesses. We've been lied to. We've been deceived. We've been put into a panic position because of what supposedly was going to take place. And all the facts, all the figures, all the data that was in the data set that all of the governmental agencies looked at were absolutely fraudulent, fake, phony, and false. Yes, we've got a virus. Yes, multitudes have died. We've not seen anything to go beyond what we see in the normal annual deaths by way of the flu. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians have waved signs and prayed and witnessed on sidewalks in front of abortion clinics for decades now in an attempt to save human life. I want to ask you a question. What's the difference in waving signs and gathering on the sidewalk when many governmental agencies have said you can't do that? Many have tried to restrict that, but yet we've taken the stand that that human life in the mother's womb that's about to be murdered by way of an abortionist, we believe that's vital. We believe that is saving a life, and we need to do so. And we stand out and we wave signs. And in many occasions, the law says that you've broken the law and people are ticketed. People are put in jail. People are fined as a result of taking that stand. But somehow, some way, there's a mindset in society today that says that if churches remain open, if Christians take a stand and demonstrate, as they call it, demanding our rights to be given back to us and being able to open our businesses, somehow it is viewed as being out of character for Christians. Here's an article that says, stay safe, but more importantly, stay free. It's a five-page article down in the midst of the first page. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Warren Benjamin Franklin, quote, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Question mark, ask Patrick Henry. Or as this modern descendancy says, my rights do not end where your fears begin, end quote. But the most frightening, this article says, the most frightening thing about today's pandemic is that the radical political left and the Democratic Party has hijacked are using our fear of COVID-19 to impose their authoritarianism on America, end quote. We're experiencing a flu detente. Somebody's created a word. A flu detente, says writer Barry Peter. A takeover of our supposedly democratic political process by unelected and unaccountable administrative state medical bureaucrats. Their inaccurate data and widely incorrect models predicting this disease have been misused to justify seizing control of our entire economy, businesses, and our personal lives. The left apparently wants to keep this newly conjured dictatorship forever in America as their new normal, end quote. Thanks to the corona pandemic, internet speech will never be back to where the old normal was, writes a Harvard Law School professor, Jack Goldsmith, April the 25th in The Atlantic. 10 years ago, he said, speech on American internet was free to all, he says. There was a relatively little monitoring and censorship of public or private of what people posted or said. Further in the article, they predicted millions of cases of death. But the unelected, unreliable doomsday sayers were wrong. You have a 0.03 chance of dying from the COVID-19 in the state of California, for example. Does that necessitate sheltering in place? For merely questioning the official dogma, these medical doctors' views were expunged by partisan left censors. The pandemic lockdown is being used to make millions dependent on government money, spend more than $10 trillion printed out of thin air, kill the free market capitalism, redistribute the wealth, impose easily stolen elections by mail, and prevent President Donald Trump from re-election. And the article goes on talking about what is taking place. It says basically collectivist left wants to erase your individual rights and silence any analysis that would discredit their using the coronavirus pandemic as a pretext for their perpetual seizure of dictatorial powers in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing that taking place, and the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered. Should you say anything publicly? Should we take a stand as Christians? Should we say we're not going to bend or bow to the government or the governmental agencies that say that the churches can't open, that businesses can't open? What do we do? Do we take a stand and say something? Ladies and gentlemen, I say that we need to take a stand. And I say that we're on solid ground based on the authority of the Word of God. We're going to look at some biblical texts right after the news break at the top of the hour and see what God's Word says that we ought to do as Christians in taking a stand, in confronting government and saying no. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Be right back in 1 minute after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.